Hello, hello. What a lovely morning for me and a lovely morning for my dear friend Joe as well here. Maybe not morning for all of you, but I'm so excited to catch up with Joe. He is a dear friend of mine and we do not get the opportunity to hang out as much as I personally would really like. So Joe, I would love for you to introduce yourself.
Hey Tessa, glad to be here. My name's Joe Casabona. I am a systems and automations coach. That's my like super secret power is being able to over-engineer automation-y things.
That is
due to my background in software engineering. So I feel like that whole thing has given me the perspective of what I do today, or has helped me in what I do today, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so selfishly, I want to catch up. I want to hear how life has been. I think that some of the viewers may, you know, just enjoy some of our personal catch up, but I would love to hear how your Christmas was and how, you know, just generally holidays have been because we haven't chatted since then.
Yeah, Christmas was really good. I just sent you a picture of something we got our kids for Christmas that I think you'll appreciate, given that you know my predisposition to this thing.
No! Oh, y'all, I'm looking at the cutest little puppy. Oh, Joe, I'm so proud of you. This is a true dad moment of like putting your children before yourself. Oh, okay. Tell the listeners why this is such a big deal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. In the excitement, I unplugged my headphones. I'm like, oh man, I hope I get these plugged back in before she stops talking. Yeah. So I appreciate that you recognize this. For most people watching or listening, they probably don't know, but I am not an animal person. I'm not a dog person. I'm also allergic to dogs. So we got our kids a puppy for Christmas. His name is Bandit and he's like a Yorkie something mix. He's a rare puppy hypoallergenic rescue from the SPCA. So like it super worked out. He had like a brother, they were strays. So I'm not a dog person, but I'm also not a monster. And I'm like, how is a 2.5 month old puppy like a stray dog in the winter in the Northeast? But their stray hold was up the day we went to the SPCA and his brother had went like already got adopted. So it like super worked out. He's he's fine. My kids love him. My wife is happy. And so when my family is happy, I'm happy. But I thought, I feel like you, I really thought, I know we're on a tangent right now, but I didn't realize how many people knew I didn't like dogs. I knew you didn't because we talk about it a lot, but like everybody I've talked to is like, wow, you got a dog. And I'm like, well, it's like grudging acquiescence for me. I want my... But they've been at, like, my youngest, Abby, is 3 years old. And when we asked her what she wanted for Christmas, she said a dog.
Aww.
And we've been like when we were in Cabo, they did like an SPCA, like shelter skip day.
Yep.
And so I'm like, yeah, wait till I'm out of the country to rent a dog or whatever. So anyway, it all worked out and we gave him to the kids on Christmas. They were very, my oldest said, I can't believe you let this happen. So
yeah, that is
all good things. Yeah.
Teresa. Yes. Beautiful comment to come out of her mouth. I love that.
Yes. Yes. She's like my clone and I really like that.
I have one of those too. And I really like it also. Okay. So my heart, it like feels like the Grinch that's like ready to explode, not because it's bigger, but because I'm just so excited because y'all, like Joe and I have been such good friends and I absolutely adore him, like adore him. But the one thing that I was like, oh, Joe, you're not like perfect because he doesn't like animals. And I'm like, who doesn't like animals? But you gave in, you got your family a little woof woof, as I call it, because I'm in toddler land right now. I love that so much. Okay, so you said the dog was fine, but is it, are like, Are you enjoying any element of it? Maybe the smiles on your kids' faces or?
Yes. Like I'm happy to see my kids happy. Also, my youngest calls him Bandy. His name is Bandy. I don't know if I said that, but
yeah, you did.
Which is like, is very cute. But also we're like, you know, he's a puppy and so he needs to be potty trained. And so I'm just like, great. Like, it's like, for me, great. Another responsibility. It's like, again, my kids are happy and therefore I am happy.
So not to go on this for too much longer, but I have to tell this little additive story and then we can move on to how you are awesome in system automation and podcasting and all the cool things you do. My dad wanted to get my mom a dog because her dog had passed. And honestly, like when her dog had passed, the dog that she had, my dad fought her on getting it to begin with. Like he was like, you don't need a dog, blah, blah, blah. I had gone off to college and he got a puppy. And so she got a puppy and I came back for, you know, whatever summer, Mother's Day, et cetera, whatever it was, and got to hang out with the puppy. Well, then that dog had passed and my dad, which is not normal behavior for him. He is a very, he's not a nurturing human. Let's say that, decided to get my mom a dog. And I was just absolutely shocked by this. So he's like, hey, you got to help me find this dog, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, I'm on it. I will happily find a dog. So I'm looking around, looking for the right dog. He ends up sending me this cute dog. And he's like, I want a dog like this. And it was like a Cocker Spaniel mixed with like a Golden Retriever, King Cavalier Charles kind of thing. Like it's a curly little dog. And I was like, for a burly man, you want a cute curly little dog? So I was like, okay, cool. And this is what he picked. Meanwhile, my mom picked a lab. That was the dog that she had beforehand. Big dog, right? So anyways, we get this dog, right? And now Toby, who is the dog, he's like 8 or 9 years old. He's not even my mom's dog. Like whenever they are here or hanging out or we're there, the dog is with my dad. And my mom made a comment the other day. Long story short, I have a dog that has anxiety. And I was like, mom, you should take this dog because it loves her. And they were here for Christmas. And so it was all a joke. And my dad's like, well, technically she doesn't have a dog because this dog is technically mine. So anyways, I think it's really fun when people who are sort of anti-animals or anti some of these different things, it unveils a different side of things. And it's maybe not like loving the animal or the idea of an animal so much as like the joy that it like brings to sort of the environment at which it's in. So anyways, I'm excited for your dog. And I don't even know. We talked about it in the pre-show about how we needed to talk about Christmas. And yes, maybe not super exciting for others, but I am beyond smitten about Bandit and this little dog that your kids now have. So yay for that.
Yes. Well, I'm glad. I was like excited that we were talking today because I'm like, oh, Tess is going to flip when I tell her this.
I love it. Okay. So now all I want to talk about is dogs, but the listeners probably don't want to talk about dogs. Most of the time I get mostly software engineers into the stream. So let's talk about you and the cool stuff that you are doing. You alluded into some of your work. Let's actually dive into like your education first and then kind of come back around. So what is your formal education as it relates to your technical chops?
Yeah. So I got my bachelor's degree from the University of Scranton in media and information technology, which was a brand new major my freshman year. And it's like, it was like half computer science, half communications. But what it ended up doing for me, because I'm really bad at math, I was able to get a computer science degree without ever having to take calculus, which was really nice.
I love that. Manipulate the system.
I like dropped out of my calculus class and I said, Dr. Frizzola was his name. He was a Yankee fan too. So like we bonded. And when I had him sign the withdrawal paper, I literally said, it's not you, it's me. Like, I'm really sorry. This is not a reflection on your teaching. I just am really bad at math. And then because I got my master's degree at the University of Scranton as well, I didn't have to take the GREs. And so I just was able to go into the software engineering program again, sans calculus, which was nice. So, you know, I mean, like it's, you know, it's not like I'm building like physics based, you know, software or whatever. And so, yeah, so I got my bachelor's in 07 and my master's degree in 09 in software engineering.
Very, very cool. That's really interesting. Honestly, I feel like Have you ever had this conversation with other developers about math? Because I don't talk about it a ton, but I really feel like developers in the sort of trends in my mind usually like math. So I feel like that's a slight exception, but maybe what I'm thinking is wrong.
I mean, I think you're right. Because it with both computer science and computer information systems, you have a requirement to get to take math, right? Like it needs to be part of it, especially because anecdotally, I find at least when I was going through school, a lot of people got into software engineering or programming because they liked video games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're building video games, you need to understand math.
Yeah.
Like you need, yeah. And so, you know, I think like one of my strengths was like, I was self-taught in web development before college.
Sure.
And so I knew like I wanted to continue the programming side of things, but the math was really hard. I did realize throughout though that like my friend Dave was very good at, he minored in math with a major in computer science. And so if someone's able to explain the math to me, I could write the program that does the math. But like I couldn't do it by hand on paper, right? So like somebody else would have to also QA, because I'm like, I don't know, it's giving me a number. Is it the right number? Who knows? of course, like in program math, it's like you're drawing pictures or ray tracing or something. And it's like, well, this is not where that's supposed to be. So obviously I'm wrong.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Like I really felt like you and I kind of have like similar sort of timing and like projects, I guess, that we worked on. So where I'm alluding to here is I feel like CSS was a lot of math. And like even yet actually now like CSS Grid and some of the other stuff is still a lot of math and it's easier math. But I really felt like I thought it was interesting how much math actually went into sort of the like pixel perfect side of website development.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. And like, I mean, like that's the math that I grok, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's the calculus and the advanced stuff that really, again, like the physics, environment, style, mathematics that you have to do. But like, you know, like if you're doing equations and, you know, I mean, like we both have PHP experience. So like before PHP 8, who knows what you would get if you had parentheses, right? Like, I don't know. Depends on what the compiler's feeling that day.
True that.
Sir, the processor, I guess. It's not really a compiler. But, you know, so like I have an appreciation for math, and my oldest is excelling. I mean, she's in second grade, but like she's excelling at the math side of things. And she gets like really excited. She got really excited when I told her how to add like 2 7-digit numbers.
Oh,
and she was just like, yes, give me more of these. And I'm like, this is great. So like, that's like super exciting. Yeah. But there's a lot of math in like the CSS side of things to do. I mean, especially now that you can kind of like draw and animate, right? Or like working with HTML canvas. Like when I was teaching, the whole reason that I got my master's degree, it feels like, was so that I could teach at the college level. And so I was teaching at the University of Scranton for a while. And in the HTML course, I like drew cherries by hand using HTML canvas. And I think that's still up on CodePen, but like you gotta understand the Cartesian plane, right? so you know, if you're doing, and like obviously there's like probably AI that can generate that stuff now, but you know, if you want to do nifty things, you can build games with like HTML. Like I've seen HTML, CSS, and JavaScript only like video games, right? You can do that now. Or, like I saw a Doom CAPTCHA. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen
you
that.
Have
one.
To, like, Doom you CAPTCHA. Have to like kill 3 bad guys to pass the CAPTCHA. It's insane. Like this that okay. exists.
That's the CAPTCHA I want sent to me. The latest one that I had to do was like the puzzle one where you had to shift them different angles to be the correct. And I'm just like, no, way too many clicks, like too much time.
Yeah. Way too much time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was a side tangent on math, but, I personally love math and I couldn't get enough math. And so when I did go to college, which I'm a college dropout 3 times over, I tried criminal justice, tried business management, tried software engineering. all three times, I'm just not a college person. I can't do it. I'm like, give me the thing and I'll do it. But math, that was the thing. I was like, hey, if I'm going to be in college, give me more math. So I like took as much as I possibly could. I don't know. It's just the, like the, there's a, I like things that have a very clear ending and maybe should have been a lawyer. I've realized. Cause like, I like the idea of knowing, did I win or did I lose? Was it right or was it wrong? And I think like in software engineering, right? Yes, there's an answer. You get to what you need, but there are so many different ways to get to that answer that it doesn't feel like it's as black and white, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, that's the beauty of math. And this is what I haven't really fully experienced, like Common Core math yet, in the sense that my daughter or like my kids would be graded wrong, even though they got the right outcome. Right. I hear like that's like a part of it. Like the teachers are going to hear from me because I'm going to be like, the whole point of math is that there's only one correct answer. Mm-hmm. And like, if you got to it a different and correct way, then that's fine. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's still in vogue. Right. But, so we'll see. My daughter has not been graded wrong for me telling her to do things the way I know yet. So we'll see.
I have kids from 16 to 2 and I've been through some of that stuff already. And I wouldn't say that I've necessarily been like the quote unquote Karen that the teachers don't want to deal with, but I have definitely had elements of conversations where I'm like, I would rather that my child be a critical thinker and be able to get to the answer in the way that they can think about it and formulate that in their minds. Because to me, that's problem solving. And then they're understanding different ways to solve the problem instead of the one way that you're telling them. And it was, that conversation was hard for the teacher to sort of rebuttal back to, because at the end of the day, that's exactly what we want, is we want them to be able to solve any problem in any direction. So yeah. Good and luck in high like school.
That's like the scary thing about school, right? Is like,
yeah,
school was designed to teach kids to sit and do mindless work for 8 hours in a factory, and it hasn't really changed much. And like, I'm sending my kids to Catholic school, and like, there's like a good chance that they will continue to go to Catholic school into high school. And I think that's where the rubber is really going to meet the road of like, hey, I don't really like monoculture. And I really want my kids to think critically. Mm-hmm. And so you need to give me a good reason. If you give me a good reason, I'll back off.
Yep.
But if it's like arbitrary and that's just the way it is, that's not going to fly with me, and it never has.
Yeah. Yep. I fully agree. My kids also were going to a Christian school for a while. And honestly, like, because it wasn't a public school and it was a private school, they could do the curriculum in the way that they wanted to. And they very much were that vein of thinking. They sort of were, like, I want to say against the public school way, but they were very much about like creativity and allowing them to sort of get to that result, which was really beautiful. Then we moved and bought our farm, and it's too far away. So anyways, I'll digress on that. Okay, let's talk about your day-to-day, because I know that you do a bunch of super cool stuff, and you shared very loosely what you do, but I would love to hear, you know, the things that you're working on in your day-to-day, and how that sort of relates to your past roles and various things as a professor and otherwise as a developer, and what you do in your day-to-day today.
Yeah. So, I around the time my oldest was born, I realized that the shine of my, monitor is like very distracting. So let me, there we go. it's like the lighting just changed on my face. When my daughter was born, I left my last like agency development job, because I felt it was incompatible with the way that I wanted to show up as a dad. Right. Like the last straw was basically like, one of the project managers said like, hey, if you want to get paid on time, you need to work this weekend. And I'm like, I said, that's not the contract that we have, right? If I wanted that to be the case, I would work for myself. Mm-hmm. Your job is to pay me on time. My job is to do the best job possible. And if it's not working out, you can fire me, right? Like that's like, and then I thought like, I'm not, so when I left, right? Like my friend was the CTO, and he was like, is there anything we can do to get you to stay? And I said, I'm not going to miss my kid's first steps because I'm work, because I have to work late for you. Right. And my wife was super supportive, right? Like super supportive. And so I still did development after that for a while, but I started to shift more into podcasting and helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And I thought lots of people are doing this. Grow your podcast can almost feel like snake oily because there's no science to it and it changes every year. Mm. And I'm not, I have good friends who are good at that, but to me it felt snake oily because there's no like formula, right?
Yeah.
It's just trying stuff.
Dude, I get that completely in my work. I get it.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's hard and you got to try things obviously, but like I realized that my unique point of view or my unique offering is helping people improve their systems and processes through automation. A lot of people, I mean, at Cabo Press, we talked about this, but from people who are outside the development space, they're like, how does your brain work that way? And it's because I've been a programmer for over 20 years. And so like, I think like computers think, and I know that content creators and business owners who are outside of the development space don't think that way. And so that's where I can bring my skills to podcasters and busy solopreneurs.
I love that so much. So for anyone who's listening, Cabo Press is this beautiful event that is invite only, but you can apply to join. I think applications are open right now. So cabopress.com. It's hosted by Chris Lemma, who is just a really amazing person, happens to also be my executive coach off and on as I've been throughout my business here. And it is very focused on, I don't want to say solopreneurs because it's not just solopreneurs, but it's very focused on sort of business leaders in a whole. And so solopreneurs all the way to sort of agencies, services, products, really a culmination. And it's just, you know, these great individuals that Lemma brings together. And it's a very powerful event if you have a business. I think Joe walked away with amazing stuff. I walked away with, I think, what is the best offering that I could have ever pulled together thanks to Cabo Press and the people who are there. So it's a really great event. So just wanted to throw that shout out there. So
yeah,
as
you're, on that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. As you're didn't mean to cut you off on your advocacy there for Cabo Press. So as you're doing some of that like automation and sort of workflowy type of a stuff, right? I think there's a lot that goes into that. And I think, you know, we see tools like Zapier and Make and now like Relay.app, which I'm a huge fan of Relay.app. I don't know if you've checked them out recently, but I'm curious, like, do you tend to use some of these like no code sort of different tools, or are you leveraging APIs? Or like, tell me about some of the challenges and the technical things that you sort of face and overcome as you're like helping these different companies do this.
Yeah, this is a great question, right? Because one of the promises I made to myself when I started doing less development and more helping solopreneurs, creators, podcasters was everything I did had to be no code because I didn't want to have to write and then support code for them. Right. I basically wanted to teach them how to automate. And so I think like my switching lanes converged nicely with the no code movement, right? As it was called like a few years ago, right? So like, yeah, Zapier is out there. Make is out there. There's like Pabbly and I got to check out Relay.app now. But, and then there's like automation tools built into things like Airtable and Notion.
Yep.
And so my, one of like my core tenets of helping people is we're not going to do custom code, right? Like we're, and even, there's like a nonprofit that I'm helping and they want to improve their system because right now it's basically like a giant Google sheet. And I'm like, yeah, I could like find the right WordPress tools to do this and build like some custom post types or whatever. Like, or I can build this in Notion.
Yeah.
And the good thing about that, right, is like if I disappear, there's no technical debt, right? Lots of people know Notion. And so that was really important to me. Like I, even when I was doing web development, I didn't want to build these big, giant, like requires 24/7 support systems.
Yeah.
Because that was never the business I wanted to run. Right. Yep. I want to clock out on Friday at 5 o'clock and not clock back in until Monday at 9. And if I'm building even e-commerce sites and the server goes down on a Saturday, I got to be there. Right. And so, like, that has always been my predisposition. even before I had kids. But now that I'm doing kind of coaching for people who are not as technical as me, I want to make sure that if something breaks, they're not like, well, Joe needs to patch his code, right? Or like an API breaks. I don't want to have to go in there and fix it.
That is such a good point because, so as you know, well, developer brains, right? Like I love doing the same thing. I love automating everything and creating this beautiful solution where it's all building and working all on its own, which has honestly been my nemesis this year in my business, because I feel like as soon as I think I'm right on the cusp of like, this is it, I'm going to standardize, this is how I do things, then I start to standardize and I'm like, oh, nope, this isn't it. And it's just, it's been a giant waste of time. So tip for anyone, don't automate and standardize until you really, truly are ready to do said things. but I love that because as you think about that, right? Like Notion, I mean, Notion has extremely beautiful docs too. And so you're this orchestrator of all this beautifulness and you get to sort of shed light on like, hey, dip into my engineering brain, right? This is how I think. Let me show you how I think and how that can come into your day to day.
Yeah. And I think that's really helped me too. Cause like, I mean, like you mentioned, right? Like some of my automations are like these Rube Goldberg machines. if people are unfamiliar, I'm sure you all know what a Rube Goldberg machine is, but it's like one of those multi-step kind of something happens, the trigger is like dominoes falling and then like a plate breaks or something. Anyway.
The Grinch like showed us best.
What's that?
The Grinch movie showed us best.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the perfect.
Coffee maker. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. Or like Wallace and Gromit is what I always think.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yep.
All of like Wallace's stuff was Rube Goldberg machines. But, and like if one piece of that breaks, everything breaks, right? But again, engineering brain, I'm like, okay, well, I can break these into discrete automations. And both Zapier, I think Zapier, make.com definitely allows you to call other make automations, right? Like the same thing with Apple shortcuts, right? Like I've been really, I've been sharing a bunch of shortcuts on LinkedIn lately. And instead of having like this one massive Apple shortcut, I can have a bunch of Apple shortcuts and one that just kind of brings them all together. That way I'm not breaking things. And when I'm troubleshooting, I'm like, okay, this shortcut failed. So I know it's here. You're right. So it's, again, that's like something that my engineering brain thinks about, because you always think about, all right, well, how can I generalize this more? How can I make this code reusable? How can I make these components of my automation reusable?
Right. So we have a question in the chat actually from Twitch, which is crazy because I'd never get people on Twitch. So I'm like, yay, I'm so excited someone's from Twitch. Have y'all looked at Amazon Bedrock for doing any of the AI workflow automations?
No, I haven't. No. Did you say you have?
I haven't. No.
No, me neither. This was a crazy thing in development too, right? Like when I worked at the University of Scranton in the IT department, my coworker every week would be like, "Yo, you need to check out React. Yo, you need to check out Ionic. Yo, you know." I'm like, let's put a pause on checking out all the new tools. And when we build something, if the new tool helps us do the thing better, let's do that, right?
You are the empowered developer and your friend is the curious developer. You're the one that makes the business decisions and they're just like, oh my gosh, look at this new shiny thing.
Yes. We worked on a mutual project at some point a million years ago where one of the people on the project was like, yo, we should do this with headless WordPress. And I was like, what would be the purpose of that? And he was like, it would be cool. And I'm like, okay, I would need to learn React.
That's so, a big undertaking.
Right. Like, so like, this is not what I was hired to do. And so if you want to go in that direction, I would not be the best person to stay on this project. And then the project manager was like, yeah, let's just do it the way we said we were going to. And I'm like, that makes sense. If there was like a good business decision for it to be headless, great. But like, it would be cool is not that.
Yep. 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 You know, what's interesting though, and this kind of gets to sort of like shed a little light on the stuff that I do. And I said the empowered dev versus a curious dev, because it's Adam Frankel has a really great book and it's called The Developer Facing Startup. And that's how he actually frames the personas. And I thought it was very enlightening, because as you think about it, as developers, we get so excited about these like shiny new tools and these different things. And even if it's automation, right? I told you about Relay.app because I was like, oh, I wonder if Joe knows, because I stumbled upon it and it's like way better than Zapier, right? And so there's these curious developers that are constantly like, oh my gosh, look at this new tool. And it's just a very interesting dynamic to sort of think of those two, right? Because the empowered devs seek out these curious devs of like, oh, what are all these crazy tools you're using, right? Like your past coworker or friend at that place. Go ask them all the crazy tools and be like, hey, here's what I'm building, but let someone else go do all that work. And so that's why I had made that comment. So I think it's always fun to play with those things. But I think for those that are listening on the stream, we have had a lot of really great conversations about leadership and being a developer and how you can elevate your skills. And I think this is one area where, you know, Joe is really showcasing a prime example of like, it's really great to know about these new technologies. It's great to dive into them. It's great to understand them. But when you're actually working on true work, right, it's like, it's not the time to go learn React, because you're going to, that might be the cool new thing to do when you've committed to a project and to a scope and to a defined amount of time and budget, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, every time I go to set up like a new website for myself or redesign my website, I think maybe I'll use 2025, right, in WordPress, or maybe I'll use one of Anders Nurend's new themes because he's awesome, right? And then I just like, I grunt and I'm like, this is, themes have changed. And I just end up installing Cadence again, right? Because I'm familiar with that and it's good. And until it becomes bad, there's no reason for me to switch, because I can work most efficiently using the knowledge I use with Cadence and Cadence blocks versus having to learn a new framework just for the sake of learning it, right? I'm not saying don't learn a new tool if it's going to be very valuable to you.
For sure.
But, you know, There's technical debt and there's having to move stuff. And last year around this time, I moved from Todoist to Things for my task manager, because Things is pretty and I liked it. And then the entire year I hit a wall of like, how do I automatically send things to Things? How do I automatically send tasks to Things? And set the due date, and you can't because it's an Apple ecosystem only app. So you can like stuff to your inbox, but you can't automatically set due dates. And I'm like, this isn't working for me. So In November, I moved back to Todoist because they have a nice iOS app. It's not as pretty as Things, but it has fantastic Zapier and Make integration. And so that was an important part of my system, right? When someone books a call with me, if it's a discovery call, I want to set a task in Todoist to follow up in 2 weeks. Or if it's an interview, I want to set a task for the day of the interview that reminds me to do the summary of the episode so that I don't like forget what we talked about later. I guess that last one is less crucial now that there are AI tools, but I still like to write down the things that I liked best.
Yes.
What I like and what AI determines is the best is not always the same thing.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. Oh, wow. I agree with that. So I have like so much relatability. The things, if folks don't know, Cadence is a WordPress theme. So Joe was talking about a WordPress stack in terms of building out a website. I have had literally the same exact things. And I have built my website a number of different times in my business. And I started on Ghost, which is great, but you can't have a homepage. Then I shifted to building in Next.js, like custom stack. That was an interesting, fun little game of like, cool, Tessa's going to learn something she doesn't know. But it pushed me to learn things I didn't know and had a really cool builder. But then it's like maintenance, right? Like, I don't know the modern JS stack like all these curious devs do, right? And so it's been quite a pain for me to go back. And like, I created only a one page and now I need sub pages. And I'm just like, oh, so much, you know? But I have to say, and I can't believe that this is true, and I think that you got the headphones a few years back when they were sent out, but I just had a call with Amanda Martin from Wix, and she actually walked me through like all the different developer tools inside of Wix, and like anyone who's in WordPress who's listening, I'm sorry, but I think I'm going to build my website in Wix because they like have all these different tools. Like you can write your own code, then you can actually do headless, then you can actually build like a full-fledged app. So anyone who's listening and kind of like, wait, what's happening? There's a live stream. It's on the YouTube. It's also in the dev hub, which you see scrolling very annoyingly on the bottom of the live stream if you want to go check it out. But it was actually really liberating because I had that same thing. If I wanted to go back to WordPress, I know WordPress, that's what I've most recently built websites in, is the PHP stack, right? But WordPress is just so much maintenance and so much undertaking unless you have the right host, the right situation, and the right whatever. So long story short, why are building websites so hard today? Like seriously, it was not this hard years ago. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, right? And it's like, it's probably because like tools and browsers have evolved and everyone's trying to be everything, right? Like, I got the Wix headphones. Famously, a very well-known WordPress bully called them a roach motel after Gross. That happened. I know.
I thought it was genius.
I thought it was super smart. I was like, it was one of the few, like, because they DM'd me and I was like, what scam is this? But like my yearly theme that year was like the year of being open-minded or something like that. Some like campy thing. And I was like, well, I would normally say no to this because I think it's a scam. But I'll see what's going on. And they sent me these great headphones and I was like, wow. Yearly theme worked out right now.
I know. Well, it was interesting too, because like, if I recall correctly, they just reached out and I don't remember how the conversation went, but you didn't have to do anything. It was a very quick conversation. And I just remember it was like something around, we want to send you something. And I'm like, great, here's my address. Cool. Like it wasn't uncommon, especially in like DevRel, for me to get swag sent to me depending on the scenario. Right. And so I didn't think anything of it. But then when these like beautiful Bose headphones, like the latest came out, I was like, this is not at all what I expected in this package. Yeah. So yeah. Very interesting. Okay. So coming back to your day to day, we're nearing sort of the end of the show here, although they can really go as long as I'd like for them to go. But what are some of the, I guess, I think there's a two pronged approach to this kind of question and answer. And what I'm sort of probing for is like, what is it that you bring together in terms of like, I think sharing an example of sort of an automation and a workflow. And then my sort of follow-up to that is, how have you shifted your automations and your workflows to bring AI into it? That's like the curious side of it. So,
good question. Okay. So, So, I mean, I think my best processes, will say, you know, actually, no, I'm going to not use a podcast example. I think this is a good one. I hate using CRMs. Like, I'm just bad at them and I never want to pay for the good ones. And it's just like, I'm never like, why would I pay for HubSpot when I'm never going to use it, even though HubSpot's like really good. Yeah. So I built a simple one in Notion, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm in Notion anyway, so it's perfectly fine, right? The cool thing about the system I built, right, is that the way I don't have to input anything into Notion, right? It's just a place where the data goes for me to look at. So when someone fills out my coaching form, they get added. Or if they schedule a discovery call with me, they get added. And the date they get added, and then the next follow-up date is automatically set, right? And then again, that gets added to my task manager too, because I don't have like notifications turned on for a lot of things, but Todoist, my task manager, does have notifications turned on.
Yep.
And so that has been the best way for me to keep track of leads and notify people who are interested in my work when I have a new product without, you know, de facto adding them to my mailing list. Because my friends, I'm going to tell you something here. Just because you have gained access to someone's email address doesn't mean you get to put them on your mailing list. They need to opt into that. Hate that. If you've ever added me to your mailing list because I went on your podcast, don't like that. Unsubscribe from that. So I don't add them to my mailing list, but I do send out personalized emails to them when I'm like, hey, I just launched this new thing called the Unstuck Sessions. You might be interested, right? The way that AI has changed that is there are two custom GPTs that I use now. So when we hop on the discovery call, I will Zoom's AI companion is fine. It frustrates me that they don't include the raw transcript. I know you have it, Zoom. Mm. You have it because that's what you're giving to the AI. Give me the transcript.
Yes.
No, you just want me to trust your tool. So I record the call. I use Mac Whisper to transcribe. And yep, then same. There's a custom GPT. Do you know Alistair McDermott?
I don't think so.
He was like in the WordPress space for a while. He's like an AI guy all the way through now. He's doing some good work. We got every probably quarter or something like that. But he built a custom GPT that I want to get the name right for, called Sales Call Insights. And so he encourages you to anonymize the transcript. So like remove the names and just, you know, write like, you know, your name, I guess, and then like just the client. And you feed it the transcript, and then he's written like a really robust set of prompts in the instructions to analyze the sale call, figure out the pain points. And then I usually follow up with like, what did I promise the client, right? Like, what did I promise I would deliver after this call? And that like executive summary plus deliverables, I copy and paste into Notion. And that is the main thing that I've been using to put together proposals, which I also put together in Notion now.
Dang.
Yeah. So like that has been a game changer for me because, I mean, if we're being honest, right? Like I have a few different offerings, but the proposals are not going to be that different. Mm-hmm. But adding the stuff from Sales Call Insights lets me say like, hey, here's what I think is your problem.
Yep.
And here's the solution I think can fix. So that's been a game changer. And my proposals have been better. They haven't just been like emails. I've been including a video like walking through the proposal, which has been like a good, I've gotten a lot of compliments on that. And so, you know, I'll never use AI to like write full content for me, but like this stuff, man, it's definitely made me a better salesperson.
That sounds beautiful. Trevor's asking for the prompt in the chat. Do you know where that can be found? You said Sales Call Insights. Is it salescallinsights.com?
The custom GPT, I think you can find it in the custom GPT store, I guess.
That's a thing.
I'm really fuzzy on this. He sent me, so in ChatGPT, there's going to be a little button under ChatGPT if you've used custom GPTs that says explore GPTs. This is dumb. I can do this, right? Can you see this okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It might be pressed for the people watching on the stream. I'll move to my browser and open ChatGPT there, and hopefully I wasn't saying something stupid. So you should see a button here, explore GPTs. Click on that, and then let's see, Sales Call Insights.
I had no idea this existed.
Yeah, and I don't know if I have access to it, but that should be the first one that pops up. It's from my friend Alistair McDermott, but it's been like a game changer. It's been really good.
Are they paid? For me, the screen is a little bit smaller than what the viewers are probably seeing, honestly. But actually, here, let's do this. No, not that. Yeah.
So this is totally free. You know, there's like a little copy link. Oh, dip. Can I just do this?
Yeah, you should be able to throw it in the chat. I think Trevor should get it because he's on Twitch, so it'll send to Twitch and YouTube.
I'm good at computers. I don't know if I can. Can I add to the chat?
You should be able to.
I don't
put it in the private chat and I'll throw it in there if you can.
Wee.
All the things. We'll get it to you, Trevor.
Boom. There it is.
Can you sell prompts on there? Or are they all free?
I don't know. I'm like willing to bet. I kicked down the brightness on my monitor so it didn't shine on my face. But I'm like willing to bet that some of these are probably paid, right? I feel like that was like a thing. Canva. We. I'm gonna bet that like some of these probably are paid.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's, I have like a couple prompts behind the scenes that I have essentially started to define and master, and I'm trying to figure out like, do I give them away for free? I feel like I kind of can't because it's pretty tied to my business and like how I create results. But I'm like, is there a monetization strategy? So that's really interesting.
Yeah. I have a hard time with that too.
Yeah, I know.
It's like you build the plugin for yourself, right? And then you're like, can I sell this?
Yeah. And it's like, I want to give it away because I always want to help people, but then I'm like, I give everything away all the time. And so I'm like, okay, I probably need to find, as a business, right? I need to find little revenue streams. So, all right. All of that aside, that is exciting. Love to hear about that. Super cool that you've brought that in. It sounds like there's some good prompts and stuff to help with that. Okay. So I have one final question that I like to ask every single guest because there's just a variety of answers that I get from this. How do you get unstuck?
This is a good question because my latest project product is called the Unstuck Sessions.
I love that.
Yeah. It's like, it's asynchronous coaching, right? But it's like, hey, if you're stuck, drop a question and I'll answer it on like Tuesdays or whatever. So how do I get unstuck? I talk out loud to myself a lot. I can use this term here because I've been saying this in like creator and business circles and people are like, what are you talking about? But like rubber ducking helps me a lot. Are you familiar with that term or is this just something I've invented?
Yeah, no, okay. I'm familiar and I thought everyone was familiar, but my guest on Monday hadn't been. And so I was like, oh, snap. I didn't realize that it's maybe not as known as I thought.
And like when you explain it, it sounds ridiculous. It's like, well, you talk to a rubber duck. Like that's where the term comes from. But anyway, so like that helps me a lot.
So just to reiterate for folks, rubber ducking is like re-explaining the problem. And when you re-explain it, you're like, oh my gosh, hello. I totally missed it. Cause then when you're explaining, you realize the things you may have missed.
Yeah. It's like you go to like a coworker or a friend and you're like, hey, I'm having this problem. And then you explain it and then it triggers, right? Like, oh yes, I've got it. And so it's called rubber ducking because then people got into the practice of like putting a rubber duck on their desk and talking to the rubber duck.
Do you have one? Were you reaching for one? Because your arm was moving.
Oh, no, I'm just reaching into the void here. I've got poker chips that I like to shuffle.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay.
And I assume, the dog's not allowed in my office, to bring it back to the beginning. The dog's not allowed in my office because I don't want to have to keep it so clean because he eats everything. But I suspect if I ever am working like in the dining room, the dog will become my rubber duck because he just sits, at my feet. You know, dogs can tell that I don't like them and they're like, just love me.
Yeah. I told you, you're going to be my dad pretty soon with a dog.
So talking out loud is maybe the best thing I do to get unstuck. If I'm really stuck and I just need to walk away, I'll usually go play the drums. I have two drum sets. And that is enough to like get like, it's like an active thing. It gets my heart rate up. It gets me not thinking about anything remotely related to work for a while.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's my favorite active thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It definitely gets you away from it. I feel like oftentimes we just have to sort of step away from the problem that we're in and just like, do something completely different and come back to it. I do the same thing, but I'll like go hang out with my cows or just go be on the farm or go sit on my patio. And, you know, it's just sort of step away.
Yeah. This crystallized for me so like so strongly in college. I was trying to figure out, I was taking like a machine language course. It was the worst. We had like a fake CPU, like assembly language that we were working with, the one that's like easier to like learn the concepts. And I was super stuck. And my friend messaged me and was just like, hey, I'm going to this coffee shop event. It's like a guy with an acoustic guitar. Like, do you want to come? And I'm like, yeah, I need to like step away. And like literally, like it was like a scene from The Social Network. I was sitting there at a table and I thought of the solution and I wrote it on a napkin. I'm like, I can't believe this is literally happening right now. So like I figured it, I wrote it on the napkin, put it in my pocket, and then like gangbusters worked when I got back to my dorm room.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. We actually just laughed about, and I don't remember what session it was in. It may have been with a live stream guest, but we were sort of like poking fun at being old. I was poking fun at myself at being old and like writing code on paper. And so it was sort of a joke of Tessa writing code on paper. So, hey, sometimes writing code on paper is just what you have to do.
It helps. I mean, like, you know, it doesn't have to be syntactically correct, but like work it out on paper. Get away from a screen.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Get away from a screen. Touch grass.
Touch grass. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This has been lovely. I honestly could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, as you know, but you have shared some really awesome things, very, very awesome things that people can take action on. I would love to shed light on where they can find you and follow up with you, maybe hire you for your podcast services. Super awesome. Joe actually did a really great like workshop sort of coaching session with me early on in my business to help me plan what my podcast was going to be. Did none of it. Didn't even end up doing that podcast. Doing this instead. And I feel like this is the answer, but his knowledge definitely played into how I thought about this. And so really great resource. Love that. Joe is on it with his beautiful setup. So he has amazing insights into your video audio setup, amazing insights in your podcast, amazing insights into automation. He's a super great human. Now he has a dog, so he's even cooler. So Joe, tell the world where to go and find you and all the awesome stuff that you do.
Yes. So I think we've talked a lot about automations and things that I like to work on. And so you can go to casabona.org/automations to get a database of 40 plus, soon to be 50 automation templates that I share for free. They're like Zapier, Make, Apple Shortcuts. And I suspect that I'll probably start adding some prompts in there too. I'm like hesitant because I don't think they're anything to write home about, but like sharing ideas is where I'm at. So, casabona.org is just the place where you can get in touch with me too. But casabona.org/automations, get free access to my automations database. It will add you to my mailing list, but I promise I send like a big unsubscribe button early on in case you're like, I just wanted the free stuff.
Yeah, I will tell you, Joe is a very good storyteller and very good with like how he creates his content. I'm trying to type and talk at the same time. We'll see how this goes. And so I strongly recommend that you do that. And it's okay that you're on his mailing list because it's good. It's a great mailing list. So Trevor, I threw that link for you in the chat, and anyone else who might be listening, if you're on Twitch or YouTube, casabona.org/automations is now in the chat, if I spelled it correctly, hopefully.
I think you probably did. Looks good.
It's fairly easy. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh God, I clicked a link. Am I going to leave this chat? Oh,
no. It might. Okay. Don't click it yet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe, so much. I'm so excited to have spent my morning with you. And honestly, I am beyond smitten to hear that Lil Bandit is in your house and he's sitting at your feet, because I think the next time we'll talk, you'll be like, so maybe, just maybe, I might like dogs just a little bit. And I can't wait for that.
We'll see what happens. I'll follow up with the thrilling conclusion.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Thank you. I hope everyone has a fabulous rest of their day and week. Get yourself a puppy. It brings you joy.